We welcome you who listen to the service over the radio of the City of Dallas, WRR. You are sharing with us the service of the First Baptist Church, and this is the pastor bringing the message entitled, God, Our Strength. It is an exposition of a beautiful and glorious word from heaven, written by God's servant Isaiah in the 41st chapter of his prophecy. Beginning at verse 10, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Then in the following message, we shall look at these verses that follow after in our exposition. Do you notice the address, Thou worm Jacob? I will help thee, I will strengthen thee, I will uphold thee by my right hand, thou worm Jacob. There's not a humanist and a rationalist in the earth but would categorize that as an insult. What? I am a worm? I am a man of great and lofty dignity. I write my own Bible. I fashion my own letter. I lay it against the stars, and I mount up to heaven by my own strength. I have even walked on the moon. My right arm will sustain me, and my mighty sword will strengthen me. I am no worm, and it is an insult to my intellectual abilities and my scientific achievement and my personal advancement to categorize me as a worm. I find that drifting over everywhere, even into the world of theology and ecclesiology in our church life. In the latest Baptist hymn book, you read the first stanza of Isaac Watts' famous hymn, Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head? And Isaac Watts wrote it for such a worm as I. When you read it in the hymn book, they have changed it to for sinners such as I. The category of a worm is too big an insult even for the ecclesiastical leaders of our modern day. But God said, Thou worm Jacob, I will help thee and strengthen thee and holden thee with my right hand, thou worm Jacob. And in my humble persuasion and in the years of my pilgrimage, I cannot think of a descriptive epithet that is more appropriate for a man of the dust of the ground and out of the ash heap. What is man, cried the psalmist, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him? He's like a worm. Before the ages of eternity, our life is a flash. It's a moth. It's an autumnal leaf. It perishes in a moment. Before the great infinitude of the vast, illimitable creation, we are nothing but a passing atom. The weakness of a man is known and felt and experienced by us all. Thou worm Jacob. We have no ableness before sin. There is no man that lives righteously and holily and purely and sinlessly. He is a victim of a black drop in which he finds himself inextricable. It's in his veins. It's in his life. He is helpless before sin and the judgment that follows it. He is a worm. He is helpless before death. Name any great and mighty man who ever lived. I can write the whole biography. He lived and he died and turned back to the dust of the ground. He is a worm in the presence of death. He is a worm in the presence of the vicissitudes and fortune that overwhelm him, over which he has no control. He is drowned sometimes in rivers of sorrow and in streams of anguish and hurt and tears. Some of the mightiest men in our own city have been reduced to penury and want and poverty in these last few years. He is a worm before the fortunes that overwhelm him, the rivers of disappointment and discouragement that face and drown him. And he is a worm before the great assignment that God has mandated him. If a man doesn't attempt anything, then he doesn't miss anything. Doesn't miss the help. Doesn't miss the strength. If he's not doing anything, then there's no need for him to look upon or look forward to or up to any help or strength in his work. But if a man attempts something for God and accepts a great assignment from God, you'll find that man down on his face and down on his knees. He's like a worm. He's not able and he's not strong to achieve it. I was thinking this week, Lord, Lord, into how much have I led our church? In our building program and in our outreach, we are more than $5 million in debt. And every year out of our giving program, there's something like $450,000 that pays for interest. And then I think of our academy. What a tremendous responsibility to build that school gloriously. And then I think of our Bible Institute and these young men and young women who are asking me from the ends of the earth about attending our Bible Institute. And then this TV ministry. Our men are getting ready to take our televised service and to place it in all the great populated cities of America. And if God would bless beyond the seas. Besides the carrying through and onward and upward the vast assignment of shepherding and teaching the thousands that are in the membership of the congregation and the other thousands we are trying to reach for Jesus. Lord, Lord, I'm like a worm on my face in the dust. The work is so great, so mighty, so vast, and I am so weak. Can you realize, therefore, how much this heavenly passage has meant to my own soul as I have prepared the message, and how much I pray it will mean to us? Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, for I will help thee, saith the Lord, saith the Redeemer, and saith the Holy One of Israel. All three in the Godhead are summoned to stand by the side of the man who will attempt God's work in the earth. Thou worm Jacob, I will help thee, saith the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. Should be translated maybe Yahweh, Jehovah God the Father, saith the Redeemer, our Savior, saith the Holy One of Israel, the Holy Spirit of God. All three in the Godhead marshal themselves to stand by the men who will attempt God's work in the earth. And he repeats it, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand. I am the Lord thy God. I will hold thy right hand, saying, fear not, I will help thee. And again, fear not, thou worm Jacob, I will help thee. Saith the Lord Jehovah, God the Father. Saith thy Redeemer, the blessed Jesus. Saith the Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts. Why shouldn't we therefore be hoping, help when God so promises His Spirit of victory if we will do God's work in the earth? When a cherub or a seraph is called before the throne of grace, and God assigns the cherub or the seraph a mission, could you imagine that cherub or that seraph saying, oh Lord, I am too weak. I do not have the strength to do it. It is inconceivable when God would call one of His heavenly messengers to stand before Him to be sent on a mission. I could think of no other thing than that. The cherub or the seraph bows in meekness and says, oh my Lord, I fly, I fly, I fly. The mandate carries with it strength for the mission. So it ought to be with us. If God has assigned us a task and mandated to us a mission, we ought to bow, worm
that we are, made of the dust and the ashes of the ground, and say, oh, Lord God, feed me in the way. Stand by my side and help me. I move. I try. I work. Think of the strength of God when He bestows it upon a man in the past. The strength of God in a man's right hand. And with the jawbone of an ass, the Philistines lay in heaps under the great strength of God in Samson. Think of the strength of God's hand in a man's hand. And with just a sling, the shepherd boy brought down the great and towering Goliath. Think of God's strength in a man's word, in a man's mouth. And at Pentecost, there were thousands, some of whom had crucified the Lord Himself. There were thousands who turned to the faith. And I have not time to speak of the heroes who, by God's strength, stopped the mouths of lions, were delivered from the edge of the sword, wrought righteousness, subdued kingdom. What God can do, fear not, thou worm Jacob, I will help thee, saith the Lord. In these weeks between Sundays, I am preaching, as you know, through these state evangelistic conferences. This coming week, through Tennessee and Ohio. This last week, in Florida and Alabama. Wednesday night of last week, concluding the evangelistic conference in Florida, they gathered a vast throng for a patriotic spiritual convocation. They had two speakers that night, the governor of the state, Reuben Askew, and your pastor. The governor spoke first, and what he said was headlined in the paper the next day. He described his election to the highest office in the state, and then described his going to Tallahassee, Florida, the capital city, weeks early in order to form his government and appoint the men who were to work with him on his commission. And he said, as I work, the burden and the responsibility became so great that I couldn't sleep. And I couldn't keep down my food. He facetiously said, I thought I was going to be the first governor in the history of the state who resigned before he was even inaugurated. Then he said, in my desperation, I sat down in my room and said, what am I doing wrong? I cannot sleep. And the burden is so great, I cannot keep down my food. What am I doing wrong? What has happened to me? And he said, it came to my heart like a message from heaven. You're attempting all the work in your own strength. Let God help you. Let Him stand by your side. He said, I fell on my face before the Lord. I fell down on my knees before God. I told God all about it. And He said, I rose from my knees in the strength of the power of the Almighty. He said, from that moment on, I have slept like a child every night. I have been strong in my physical frame, and the Lord has been with me and has blessed me. A tall finest looking men you will ever see is that Reuben Askew, the governor of Florida. He said, the people have said to me in my governorship, how is it that you speak so plainly of Christ and what Christ has done for you? How do you do that being a politician? The governor replied, I say to them, I was a Christian before I was elected governor. I shall be a Christian after I cease being governor, and I see no reason to change in between. Thou worm, stick up, fear not, for I will help thee, saith the Lord. Saith the Redeemer, saith the Holy Spirit of God. You look what he does. The man may have some great assignment, and God says in verse 13, I will hold thy right hand. The man may be in a warfare. Look in verse 15. I will make thee a sharp threshing instrument, having teeth, and thou shalt beat the mountains and make the hills as chaff. He is likened, this man of God on a mission from heaven, he is likened to a man in a great wilderness, and there's no water, and the tongue fainteth for thirst. I will hear thee, saith the Lord. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valley. I'll make the wilderness a pool and the dry land springs of water. Then he likens the man doing his work to someone in a great weary desert without food. And he says, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the oil tree. Thou worm, I will help thee, saith the Lord. A young Christian, and he's starting out on the pilgrimage to the holy city. He's just saved. And he'll find, as always you will find, that young Christian will find the host of hell will assail. Long as you drift downstream, you'll have no trouble. It's when you turn to row upstream that you'll find trouble. And the young Christian finds trouble. And he says, this is a warfare that I cannot win. This is a pilgrimage, a goal of which I cannot reach. This is an assignment I cannot do. And discouraged, he says, I'll go back into the world. I'll turn back into the world. Oh, says God, don't be discouraged. And don't turn back. For I will help thee, and my right hand will uphold thee. Here is our veteran Christian. We've been in this pilgrimage for the years of our lives. We have assumed and attempted a great thing for God. But oh dear, the trials and the problems and the difficulties in the way, for this vile world is no friend of grace. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. I will help thee and hold thy right hand. Standing before the rolling Red Sea, the crack of the whips of the Egyptian slave masters back of us, journeying through a trackless wilderness, in a desert where there's no food to eat, finally coming to a swollen Jordan River. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. I will help thee, at the Lord. The waters shall divide. You'll pass over dry shod. My pillar of cloud by day and my pillar of fire by night shall guide thee through the trackless wilderness. I will feed thee manna from heaven. I will part the waters of the swollen Jordan, and you shall enter in triumph into the promised land. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. I will help thee. Is that God promised to us in all of the assignments that the Lord lays before us? He asks us to be unafraid, even in the presence of death. Be unafraid. And it is in His goodness and in His mercy that He saves us when we cannot save ourselves. Where is the man who could forgive his own sin? Where is the man who could write his own name in the book of life? Where is the man who can deliver himself to heaven someday? Thou dying, helpless worm, fear not. I will help thee, saith the Lord God. Saith thy Redeemer, the blessed Jesus. Saith the Holy Spirit from heaven. I'll save you. I'll keep you. I'll deliver you. I'll raise you up. I don't know. As you know, I came to the pastor of the church from Muskogee, Oklahoma, the seat of the five civilized tribes. There were so many things I learned from those Indians about the oldest association. Certainly the oldest association in our part of the world is the Cherokee Association. They brought with them about 160 or 70 years ago over the Trail of Tears to eastern Oklahoma. I love talking with those Indians, preaching to them. One of them was asked, "You say you are saved, that God saved you. How did He do it? How did God save you?" The old Indian took some dried leaves and placed them in a circle. And he took a worm and placed it in the center of those dried leaves. Then he set fire to the circle of leaves. And as the fire raced around the circle and began to burn, the worm crawled to this side, and then to this side, and to this side, and to this side. And wherever he crawled, he met a wall of fire. And finally, the little helpless creature drew as far away from the flame as he could, and in the middle of the circle, curled up to die. The old Indian took his hand and lifted up the worm and placed it in safety and said, "That is what God did for me." Oh, 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 what He's done. Oh, 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 what He's done for me. Oh, 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 what He's done for me. I never can forget what He's done for me. He lifted me out of the fiery pit. That's what He's done for me. He lifted me out of the fiery pit. That's what He's done for me. He lifted me out of the fiery pit, worm that I am. That's what He's done for me. I never shall forget what He's done for me.
Would you sing it with me? Oh, 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 what He's done for me. Oh, 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 what He's done for me. Oh, 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 what He's done for me. I never shall forget what He's done for me.
Fear not, thou worm, Jacob. I will help thee, saith the Lord. He who spread over us the skies like a curtain, who founded the pillars of the earth, who laid the foundations of the deep, saith the great Jehovah God, I will help thee. Fear not, I will help thee, saith thy Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said, fear not. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and of hell. Fear not, saith the Holy Spirit of Israel. I am the one that brooded over the face of chaos and brought form out of the deep. I am the one that raised from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. I am the one who regenerates the heart. I am the one who elects and calls and sanctifies and glorifies. Fear not, thou worm. I will help thee, saith the triune God. That's why we are ever to be in. God is with us. His strength is ours to command. We cannot fail. Victory, blessing, and assurance forever are ours. Our time is far. In a moment when we sing our hymn, on the first note of that first stanza, to give your heart to Jesus, would you come? A family, a couple, or one, somebody you. Make the decision now in your heart. And in a moment when we stand up, walking down one of these stairways, walking down one of these aisles, and God keeps you in the way as you come while we stand and while we sing.